Well, hello again. It's been ages since I've been able to talk to you about what's going on in my life in my little corner of New Zealand. Welcome to Amron's Podcast, episode 112. It's Monday, September 8th, 2008. And because I'm releasing an episode on a Monday, that's probably a bit unexpected. So that's why I call this the unexpected episode. But I've just been so busy lately, I haven't had time to record anything but the joint episodes with Jason. And rather than risk missing another one, I thought, no, I'm just going to do it now and be done with it. And that way I can cover all my updates and get everything all current and up to date, and then I can carry on when I do have the time. But I have been extremely busy lately. Nothing unusual. It's just that I have a lot of projects going on around the house because we're in the midst of sort of reorganizing everything. And I need to get that finished. Our two little nieces are coming to stay with us for the school holidays at the end of the month, and so I need to have that finished by then. So that's part of what's going on. And then, of course, the first week of the month is the busiest week of the month for me for work. And I had virtually no time at all last week. And there's no particular reason for that. It was just one of those months where just things were really, really busy. Unfortunately, the first part of the week wasn't so busy, and then it got increasingly busy as the week went on, so much so that I barely had time to think on Friday, let alone podcast. So that's where I've been. That's why I haven't been recording. As per usual, there's nothing going on, no dramas, just day-to-day life dramas, I suppose you could say. But I do want to give you a few updates about some things. Now, in the political podcast with Jason, I did some housekeeping things, and this is sort of related to some of that, but also I've got comments that have piled up and a couple of phone messages, three phone messages that have piled up, and I just sort of want to get everything all nice and current so that I can carry on. Now, in the last episode, the one with Jason, I mentioned that I'd goofed up and called the Podomatic posted episode Podomatic Amron's 110 or whatever it was. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, you know, that's actually a good way to remind people if they've got the right episode or not. So episode 111 that was posted on Podomatic is Amron's 111P, as in Podomatic. And the reason for that is quite simple, so that I can make it very easy for people to tell if they've got the right subscription or not. If the episode you listened to was Amron's 111P, you've got the wrong one. And the best thing to do is to go to amronspodcast.com and click on the subscribe in iTunes button on any episode, because that's the only way that you will get all of the episodes in the Amron's podcast. And here's why. When I posted my video, so-called, to my feed, I posted it both to Podomatic and to my normal feed. Normal feed is fine, no issues. However, Podomatic downsamples video to a fraction of its actual size. So when it actually popped up through Podomatic, it was a postage stamp. And so I've decided that I will no longer post any videos to the Podomatic feed. And if you don't want to see the videos, well, that may not be a problem. But if you do want to see the videos, the only way you're going to get them easily, or automatically, I should say, is through the amronspodcast.com feed. And I won't be posting videos to Podomatic, and eventually I'm going to stop posting new podcasts as well. So it really is in your best interest to complete that change. Actually, Podomatic also downsamples the audio podcasts as well, but it's not as dramatic as the video. But speaking of video, when I posted that first one, I was very upfront and honest in all the descriptions on YouTube, on my site, everywhere, that it was essentially just a slideshow. It was really all it was. Nevertheless, it became my most downloaded episode of any kind ever since I set up the new feed. I have no idea why. It's not that great, but apparently people found something in it that they liked, because it had to be more than just ordinary subscribers, partly because the numbers are higher. But also, I suspect that people went to the site directly to download it. And I obviously, there was the web address was in the video, and also on YouTube, I said to download a high-resolution copy, go to my site. And I think some people must have, because there's like twice as many. No, I don't know how many. Anyway, there's a lot more people who went to see it or who got it through my site than have seen it through YouTube, apparently, which is fine. But my next video is actually coming up soon, and it's going to be more like a vlog, a video blog or video podcast. And it'll be short, so don't panic. But I had said before, when I was talking about doing these short videos from time to time, that they were going to be things that I wanted to show you rather than just tell you about. And that's one of these things. It's me this time. It's not going to be anything fancy. It's sort of like Archer does. I'm just going to be sitting at my desk talking to you. But it's going to be coming up probably the coming weekend, I think. That's when I'm expecting to do it anyway. We'll see. But it will be coming up soon, and I'm just sort of giving you advance warning. But as I said, I'm probably not going to be posting long-form videos to my podcast feed, but I am thinking I might set up a subdomain on my hammerinspodcast.com so that I can keep the video separate, because any video that I post to... I suppose that's not true. I was going to say any video I post to my podcast site would automatically get loaded to the feed, but I'm not sure if that's actually true. I'll have to ask Tim Carmel. He knows about these things. Anyway, that was actually the main updates I wanted to tell you, to make sure that you change your feed to amarinspodcast.com or through there, and that I'm going to be doing a new short video fairly soon, probably within a week. And that the next podcast will be the dual podcast with Jason, which we're due to record tomorrow and will be posted tomorrow or the next day. And that one will be a wrap-up of the Republican convention and talk a bit about the platforms of the two parties and those sorts of things. So that's coming up this week. And then I expect to have another normal podcast at the end of the week, although at this point I don't know what subject it's going to be yet, and so I'm not going to say anything more about it than that. So those are all the updates. You know now what I've been doing or what I haven't been doing. And those are all the bits and pieces. But I think what I want to do now is just to go onto the comments, because as I said, they have been piling up. A couple other bits and pieces I'll mention later on as I get to the comments. But first up, this is episode 109, which is on marriage equality. And this comment is actually over at Podomatic. And I missed this before, I think, because I don't generally check the Podomatic site. But Roger Green had said, "Wow, probably the most passionate I've ever heard you. Stroppy, had to look it up. Does about describe it, but that's okay." Well, thanks, Roger. And I actually do think that stroppy is probably the best word for it. And I'm sure I must have used that many times before. I can't remember. But basically it means somebody who's kind of passionate, somebody who's really strident, maybe even. And a bit cheeky as well. I don't have to define that one, come to think of it. But anyway, those are the main words that would describe that episode, I think. And if you will bear with me for 1 second, I just want to... I'm not going to edit this, by the way, so you're going to hear all of these little pauses that I normally edit out. I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything along the way. Okay, yep, that episode 109 was the last episode. Yes, that was the last episode with just me. Boy, that's going back a fair ways. That was posted on August 22nd. Well, anyway, let's go on with the comments from Amarins 109. And I have not written these comments on the website, and I probably should. But anyway, the first comment was from Mark from Slap Upside the Head. And he mentioned something from New Zealand one day last week. And I won't say what, because I want you to go to his site and check it out. It's slapupsidethehead.com. And it's about some New Zealand schools. But I will probably eventually talk about it. Anyway, he says, "Hey, Arthur, love the show. I'm not sure what else I can add on the subject of marriage equality, since everything you said is bang on. Maybe you could just imagine me shouting, 'Preach it, brother!' after each of your sentences. About the rabid wingnut, though, I do wonder why such diverse rhetoric survives when there are nations with full marriage equality..." Sorry, he says, divisive rhetoric. My apologies. "Why such divisive rhetoric survives when there are nations with full marriage equality that simply don't demonstrate any of the horrible consequences that these citizens, these crazies warn about. Though I suppose it's clear these guys aren't too fond of rational thought in the first place." And that is very true. And that's actually part of the problem, because virtually all of their arguments are based in religion, which is one of the points I was trying to make in that episode. It's not based on rational thought. There's no logical reason for the positions they take. They base all of their arguments on religion. And if you don't happen to share those religions, those religious viewpoints, their arguments are meaningless. They're pointless, even. And Mark's quite right. There are countries in the world and states within the U.S. that are functioning quite well, thank you very much, with marriage equality. And even some countries like New Zealand that don't have marriage equality per se have de facto marriage equality, you could say, because our civil unions are the legal equivalent of marriage in every ways, except for one, for sure, adoption, and maybe another. And our country hasn't slid under the ocean yet, so I don't quite know what the problem is with those crazies. But anyway, the next comment was from Heather, who said, "Hi, Arthur, I've been listening to your podcast for a while now. I finally feel compelled to post a comment. You have echoed a lot of my sentiments about marriage, especially the idea that government should not be in the marriage business. I am in an opposite-sex relationship." That's something you don't hear people say every day, is it? Anyway, "I'm in an opposite-sex relationship, and when we decided to make things official, we knew we didn't want to get a marriage for a variety of reasons. We were living in California at the time, so we thought we'd get a domestic partnership. Turns out, they are only for same-sex couples in California. Talk about separate but equal. So we settled for a City of Berkeley domestic partnership, which is frankly not as exciting. It didn't even allow me to get on my partner's health care plan. We moved to New Zealand a little over a year ago, and we were very excited about the country's civil union laws because they are so egalitarian and nearly identical to a marriage contract. We were one of only 63 opposite-sex couples to get a civil union in 2007. My theory is that if more opposite-sex couples start getting civil unions, then government-run marriages will become obsolete and eventually return to what they should be, a religious and cultural rite, not a legal document. And Heather, I couldn't possibly agree with you more. I said in the podcast, and I've come to strongly believe this, that all countries should get out of the marriage business, all governments should get out of the marriage business, that the union between two adults should be a civil union, which is a government function, and it has to do with property rights, inheritance, next of kin status for things like hospital visitation, as Barack Obama mentioned in his speech, and things like that. All of the legal things that go along with what is now called a marriage. And if people then want to go on and have a religious rite to solemnize their relationship, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that, certainly. And I also, frankly, don't have a problem if churches want to exclude same-sex couples from their religious rite, because I'm not really interested in what churches do or don't do, because there will always be a church that will do a religious blessing of a same-sex union. So if the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church or whoever, Baptist Church, whatever, doesn't want to bless same-sex unions, fine, go for it. You also don't have to baptize people if you don't want to. I don't care. The point is that baptism, like marriage, baptism is not a state function. It's not of any concern to the state. I mean, state, small s. And it shouldn't be a concern to marriage, for similar reasons, shouldn't be a concern. And that's why I think that civil unions are the way to go in general, for the future. But in the U.S., I think things have gone too far to change course now. That because in the example of New Jersey, the civil union law has been found wanting as compared to marriage. And I'm not sure that in the U.S. it's possible to make civil unions that are the legal equivalent of marriage in every respect and treat it as such. But if that is possible, that would be my preference. And as I said, let churches fight it out over marriage as such. But next was Tim Carmel, who's, you know, I have trouble saying your name, Tim, and I don't know why. I think it's because my accent is betwixt and between. Anyway, Tim said, he said, "This was an amazing episode. I concur in so many ways to the way you debunk the crazy whack job arguments against gay marriage. I have a crazy relative that is always emailing me this kind of vile right-wing garbage, and one of these days I'm gonna send them an email, which I'm sure they will delete without reading." So thanks for that, Tim. Fortunately, I don't have any crazy relatives sending me emails or anything else for that matter, but it's a difficult thing, and that's actually a whole subject unto itself. But when you've got a crazy relative or somebody that you know and maybe care about for some other reason, and they're just a bit crazy in this way, how do you deal with it? How do you speak to them? How do you relate to them even? And that's a subject for another episode. And actually, I've got some ideas for one that I would like to do ultimately, similar to marriage equality, but talking more specifically about gay issues and identity and, you know, those kinds of things. But those were all of the comments for episode 109, marriage equality. And the next comments were on my first video, Amron's Video 01, I called it, for no apparent reason. Now, as I said, in the show notes for that episode, I said, this is my first video, though technically it's just a kind of slideshow. And as I said that on YouTube as well. But it was nevertheless my most popular Emryn's episode to date. Go figure. Anyway, first up was Candyland, who said, "Hey there, Arthur, that is an amazing video. Loved it." Thank you, Candy. And Nessa said, "I thought the video was great. Can't wait to see future ones." Thank you too, Nessa. And Mark from Slap Upside the Head said, "Really nice video, Arthur. I suppose this makes the blogger, podcaster, vlogger progression complete." And you know, it's funny. I was trying to look up to see where I had seen this, and for the life of me, I can't remember exactly where. But I'm pretty sure it's my blogging buddy, Lost in France, who, when I first started podcasting, said, "Oh, next thing you're going to be vlogging." And I said, "Oh, no, not me. I'm not going to be doing that." And I should have known better. Because when I was just blogging, I said that, "Oh, I'm not going to start podcasting. That's not for me. I'm content just to listen to podcasts." And then, of course, I did start podcasting. And then once I started podcasting, a lot of other people were already switching over to video blogging or vlogging. Jeffrey the Gay Expat, for instance. His was one of the original podcasts that I listened to, and he's now moved on into vlogging and similar things. And I can talk, I actually could talk about it more because I'm sure he doesn't listen. But But I said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to do that," because it just seemed like it was too much, too hard. And, well, I guess I sort of have. But I honestly don't know where the video thing's going to go. I don't know what I'm going to end up doing for sure. I've got some ideas for things I'd like to do, But it is kind of ironic that I ended up, as Mark said, really starting to make that transition from blogger to podcaster to vlogger, except that I'm not giving up any of them. I'm keeping all of them. And I'm still blogging religiously, so to speak, and podcasting not so religiously, and vlogging even less so far. But anyway, that's sort of future direction, I suppose. And next up was Ramble Redhead, who said, "I have to echo the others. Great job on the video. Just makes me want to visit even more. Keep the videos coming. Thanks, Tom," and I definitely will. Tom's been doing quite a few videos as well. And so I'm hoping, that would be kind of nice if some people would look at those photos and think, "Oh, that would be nice to go visit," which is kind of one of the ideas behind it, to be honest. Oh, and I should say about the video, because I haven't really talked about it. There's a little line in the back that said, at the ending credits, that says, "Except for that photo of New Zealand from space, I took all of the photos." And of course I did. And they're taken over extended periods of time. I mean, some of the first two from the South Island are really quite old. From, I think, 99, I think it was. I'm not quite sure exactly when, but I think it was 99. Anyway, and all the others are far more recent. And, but they're all places that I've been, because I took all of those photos, and some of those photos, Jason was actually right next to me at the time, or nearby when I was taking some of those photos, from when he visited in October of 2006. But they were all places that I've been, places that I liked, that places that I also had taken a reasonably good photo and wanted to include. But that's only the tip of the volcano, yes, but you could say, because there's so many beautiful places in this country. And I suppose from time to time I'm going to have to do more of those, although hopefully some with actual video, just to give you even more of an idea of what this country is really like. Or you could come and see for yourself. And finally was Yorkie, who said, "Yes, Arthur, I'm still here and watching now, too. Looking forward to a truly moving experience next time." And, of course, Yorkie was on one of my fairly early podcasts. And I'm going to actually go and tell you which one, so you can go download it. Yorkie is a New Zealander who is living overseas with his American partner. So it's kind of, in some ways, sort of the opposite of Nigel and me, in some ways. It was called Tuesday Talk, I remember now. And Tuesday Talk, it was Amron's episode 30 from July of 2007, July 31st, 2007. So if you go to my archives and click on July 2007, you can find episode 30. And, oops, I closed the window and I didn't mean to. And that was it for the comments on the video as well. So now I'm going to play my first of the voicemails I have waiting.
Hey, Arthur, it's Peter from Atlanta, also known as Apollonius from the They Don't Know show. Thank you so much for playing my message. And also, thank you for reading Orson Scott Card, a new one. I also found the OSC Essays of Sorts, and the only real good thing I could come up with is, oh, Orson Scott Card must not love his wife because, well, marriage is pretty much a contract between a man and a woman, and that's it, and it's not about love. But, like, you know, that's just me being petulant and cranky to answer him being petulant and cranky. But I really like the positions you put in that, namely, one, you cannot evaluate, you really don't have a place to evaluate other people's relationships, and also, why does everyone whine about people being activist judges only when their needs aren't being served? And it was just brilliant. Also, I think I found a reason why I can never move to New Zealand or Australia. I think I would stab somebody in the eye if they told me that I had to pay a large amount of money and I could still get bandwidth overruns. The only reason I would move to, well, I could move there, but I'd definitely have to be part of the new company that, like, you know, has a flat rate that's $10 less than everyone else's internet plan and has no bandwidth cap, you know, so that everyone runs to mine. And also, as for movies being the main push to do bandwidth shaping on torrents, that's pretty dumb because, honestly, movies are going to find a way to... Movies, pretty much, as you said, are starting to get marketed and rented and all that crap, so all the ISPs that set up all of this infrastructure for packet shaping are going to get bit in the ass for not... putting in all that infrastructure and then having to modify it again. So, oh, well, it was the same sort of thing that happened when VHS tapes came out. Everyone was going, no, it's going to destroy the movie industry. And then it became, like, you know, the most used venue for distributing movies and one of the best ways for movie companies to make their money. So I guess it shows that idiotic thoughts repeat themselves. Otherwise, I'm sorry I've carried on too long, but I greatly enjoyed your most recent episode of your show, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Well, thanks for that, Peter. And I actually don't care how long people go on in their phone comments, up to the limits of the system, I guess, but it doesn't matter to me. But thanks very much for your comments. I agree with quite a lot of what you said. For anyone who doesn't know Peter, a.k.a. Apollonius, he is on the They Don't Know podcast, and he's been on a few others lately as well. And he and I also, from time to time, trade comments back and forth in the comments section, particularly at Archer Radio. And I find him a very interesting fellow. So thanks for your comments, Peter. And I'll talk about the packet shaping a bit in a minute after I play this message from Scotty.
G'day, Arthur. It's Scotty here from just over the water from you. I'm just ringing up to get back to you on that broadband shaping thing. And yes, what Peter from that, whatever it was, Eat Baloney podcast or something, said was correct. But in Australia, it really came up, shaping is when you reach your download limit, they throttle the speed of everything down to like 64K. So that came about because everyone complained when the big telecommunications companies hit everybody with massive download bills because they just innocently went over due to the crap download limits. So these days it's actually more common than not that when you sign up, your service will just be shaped when you reach your limit. And then it stays that way until your next month ticks over. Hence, about a week and a half or 2 weeks into my 20 gigabytes of downloads for, about 50 or 60 Australian dollars a month, it gets throttled down to 64K. And so for over half of every month, I have to use the internet like I'm on dial-up. Anyway, Arthur, love the show. Hope everything's well over in New Zealand. And, yes, it... hope your winter's not too cold. Bye.
Well, thanks for that, Scotty. And actually, we used to have data caps here as well. I don't know if it exists at all in New Zealand anymore. I think it probably does at the lower end of the market, the broadband market, so that some people, when they're sort of entry level into broadband, might have a data cap and then the speed gets throttled back, as we always called it. I think it is 64K or maybe 128K. I can't remember now. At any rate, after they hit their data cap, rather than allowing them to continue spending onwards and upwards. But in our case, what happens once we hit our data cap, we get charged by the gigabyte. And it ain't cheap. We can easily have internet bills of a couple hundred a month because we've got the, well, the highest data cap that they offer. Plus, we've got other bells and whistles as well. But I think generally in New Zealand, it's, I don't know for sure. I shouldn't say, but I don't think that speed throttling is as common as it once was. And it started in New Zealand for the same reason that Scotty's talking about. People were complaining about getting hit with huge internet bills. And so the companies responded by throttling back the speed and not charging extra. But that, as I said, has now evolved where people can keep going, but they get charged a different rate. And because the cost of connection has plummeted over the years, they can afford to offer it more than they offer more gigabytes for cheaper than they used to be able to. The data caps are still far too low. And the price per gigabyte for going over your data cap is still too high. But these are all evolving things, I suppose. And it is a real nuisance. In New Zealand, so far, we haven't had any actual packet shaping, which is to say where the ISP allows certain kinds of files to go through at normal speed and other kinds of files to go through it at only very slow speeds. And the idea is, as I understand it in Australia anyway, the reason that they were doing that actual packet shaping for the bits and bytes and so on was to prevent illegal movie downloading through torrents or something like that. And Peter was right when he talked about how it was a bit like that whole beta versus VHS thing when the tapes came out. Oh, this is going to be the end of movies. And of course it wasn't. But I also remember when stereo cassettes started taking off. God, this is aging me. But they started taking off, and the record industry was saying, this is going to be the end of records. People won't buy them anymore. They can just borrow them and then record them, and they won't buy them. Well, that didn't happen. But there had been talk about putting a tax on blank tapes, first cassettes and then later videotapes. And then when blank DVDs, CDs came out, they were saying the same thing. Well, none of that ever came about. And it tends to be, in my opinion, that the creative industries, both music and film, tend to panic unnecessarily about their profits. Now, I'm not talking about the artists. I'm talking about the companies that make this. And they're always concerned that their profits are going to be lost. And it was only, I think, last year or the year before, the movie industry was complaining about how illegal downloads were destroying their business. And because box office take was really down. Well, it never occurred to them that the box office may have been down because they were putting out crap movies that nobody wanted to see. Because then they started putting out some movies that people did want to see, and lo and behold, they have record box offices again. Well, the same thing happened with CD sales. CD sales were plummeting, and they said, oh, it's all those university students, their illegal file sharing with their Napster and all that sort of stuff. That's destroying the CD industry. Well, no. Again, they were putting out a lot of crap product. Once they started putting out good product, people bought it. And more importantly, once they started providing legal ways for people to download digital songs like iTunes, for instance, people took to it. And the same thing I think will happen with digital downloads of movies either to buy or to rent, like iTunes again, and other competing services. So ultimately, I think what the main problem is that the companies that are selling this content, whether it's music or movies, just cannot get their heads out of the early 20th century. They cannot get into the 21st century at all. And that is creating a lot of problems for the internet industry because the internet is all about moving content around, making it easy for people to access and obtain and hold on to content. But the people who own the content are throwing up all of these barriers. And the main problem is when they start interfering with other aspects. And you get this as well in the U.S. with net neutrality, where companies like Comcast, for instance, which happens to control most of the cable traffic in America, wants to make it so that they can offer lower speeds to competitors and only give top-rated speeds to their approved partners. And it has to do with power and control and money. It's always about money in the end. And in the case of internet speed throttling or packet shaping, again, it has nothing to do with network capacity. It has nothing to do with technological limits. It only has to do with profits. And it's always somebody outside of the industry. It has nothing to do with the internet as such, nothing to do with ISPs as such. It only has to do with certain people who are on the periphery who are trying to dictate how the entire internet is going to be run because they're worried about their profit models. And it seems to me they ought to be coming up with better profit models than trying to restrict every single other industry on the planet. Here ends the editorial for today. But it actually kind of segues into something else. Some of you, those of you who follow me on Twitter, are probably aware of this, but I've been having ongoing issues with iTunes. Well, it's not actually iTunes. It's our phone network, which is a company called Vodafone, which is actually an English telecoms company. They're primarily mobile services. They are in 27 countries in, on five continents, and they have partner networks in 31 countries on top of that. They've got something like 270 million customers worldwide. And in the U.S., they have, what do they call it? They call it Associated Undertaking with Verizon Wireless. And so Vodafone customers in New Zealand or Australia or wherever can take their Vodafone to the U.S. and connect to their Verizon network, theoretically. But there's a whole bunch of issues with that as well, but I won't go into that. Anyway, New Zealand has deregulated its telephones completely. The government ordered, there was a monopoly called Telecom New Zealand, which is privately held, and they would not open up their network to competition because there was no profit in them for doing that. They resisted and fought. And so the government ordered structural separation into lines company, consumer, and I've forgotten what the other one is. It doesn't really matter because it doesn't affect me. But among other things, they ordered that the exchanges had to be opened to competition, that other companies had to be able to install their equipment into the telecom exchanges. And these bits of equipment are things like DSLAMs and other bits and pieces. Well, Vodafone is the first that I'm aware of to actually operationalize its independent network. They still use the telecom copper wires to get from the exchange to the house and elsewhere, but they... you don't actually have to be on the telecom network anymore, and we're not. And that's the problem. There's apparently a problem with Vodafone, and it is, for some reason, interfering with the downloads of iTunes podcasts, not music apparently, because I went and downloaded the Song of the Week just to make sure that was working, and it worked fine. But some podcasts will not download. You get error messages, and they time out, or they drop the connection or something. But there seems to be no rhyme or reason to it, because it's from various podcast hosts, lengths, you know, all that sort of stuff. For example, one podcast that's hosted by Libsyn may download and another one from Libsyn may not. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. And I've been resorting to manually downloading some of my favorite podcasts that I don't want to fall too far behind on, and listening to them, even though I know that iTunes thinks it's a song and won't remember, so I just delete it as soon as I listen to it, hoping that someday iTunes is sorted. But one of the reasons I do know that Vodafone engineers have said that they're working on, but one of the reasons why I also know that it's Vodafone is because Vodafone customers have been reporting that they can go and plug in their laptop, say in a cafe somewhere through Wi-Fi or whatever on a different network, and they're able to download. They're able to sync their iTunes that way. So, and it's both Mac and PC. It's got something to do with something somewhere that Vodafone has done since switching over to their network about a week and a half ago. And but this particular problem only started emerging about a week ago. But there you go. And I have one last phone message today from Tim from Terminally Single Podcast.
Hello, Mr. Arthur. I was just giving you a shout since you sent me an email. I just want to thank you for your words and the switch from the Podomatic, which is starting to drive me nuts, to GoDaddy. It's gone remarkably smooth. I'm quite impressed. Other than being lazy and uploading old shows, it's gone pretty well. So now the fun comes when people have to switch from one iTunes to another. So, but I figured if you and Eric both survived it, so can I. So, but I wanted to thank you. I'm still catching up on your show, so, which I'm way behind on everybody's show. So. But keep up the good work, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Well, thanks, Tim, and good luck with your switch from Podomatic. Tim, I believe, is doing something similar to I did, leaving Podomatic and hosting through GoDaddy, with the assistance, of course, of the fairy podfather himself, Tim Carmel, just as I had. Yes, I did survive the move from Podomatic, but I do have to be honest that my download numbers are only now starting to return to the levels they were at beforehand. Of course, I'm guessing because I found out about the time I was making the switch that Podomatic's numbers were all voodoo statistics. They didn't mean anything. But by doing a little extrapolation, I can work out that my download numbers are just now starting to return, which is why I actually keep pushing this business of making sure that you go to iTunes or go to my site, aaronspodcast.com, and click on the subscribe with iTunes button to make sure you're subscribed to the right feed, because I do want to get that completed. But ironically, in the midst of all this, my old podcast feed is suddenly back on the front page of the featured podcasts for personal journals. Oprah dropped off for some reason, and my podcast went back on, which is weird. But my other hasn't moved in quite a while, and that could be because I'm stuck at 21 reviews. So if any of you have been meaning to give me a 5-star review, now would be a good time, because I do want to move start pushing the new feed more than the old feed, and that's one of the things that would help. But that's it for this episode. As you can see, I had a lot to catch up on, but that's now done, and now I can move back to just normal episodes. And next up, of course, is that joint podcast with Jason. And then after that will be a normal podcast, hopefully at the end of the week. And then after that will be a brief video podcast, a vlog, if you will, probably at the weekend. But that's it for today, everybody. Hope you have a good Monday and Tuesday, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Aaron's Podcast at aaronspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at arthur@aaronspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. listener line on 206-339-8413. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.